Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour, chapter 58, the great book of Isaiah, Yahweh's salvation. That's what it's all about. It's how salvation comes to be. Now, our Father has told us in the last couple of chapters, he said there are some religionists and rulers want to give a warning of what I have warned you about. And we come to this 58th chapter, and he is very bold. He says, you cry it out. Don't just whisper it. You let it be known that there's a falsehood out there. And then he kind of come down on those that play church. He said, they are so righteous, or think they are, but they don't follow my ways. And we kind of see a warning and a comparison there to those that do what's right and those that simply are wrong. So chapter 58, verse 8, we're going to pick it up there. We ask our Father for a word of wisdom, and verse 8 reads, then shall, when you try to do right, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. That's to say, the Father watches your back even. When you don't have to worry about what's out front. He even watches the front and the back. But when you are in the light, you're in the truth, the true word of God, not man's traditions. Now, men's traditions are seemingly, as the Father said, they like to say God. They like to try to follow me, but they don't listen to what I say. Okay? Verse 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. He'll hear you. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, that's to say what man's traditions will burden you down with, the putting forth of the finger, that means pointing at people in anger, and speaking vanity or talking nonsense, if you'll talk truth, if you'll talk the word of God, then that light will be with you and God will hear you. Otherwise, he's not going to. You know, if you're in a false teaching that is contrary to God's word, he's not going to answer you. It may be a good chance for someone to take inventory as to how they study. Is it man's traditions or God's word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse? Verse 10. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, that's to say, if you... Some people translate this, if you share your bread and satisfy the afflicted soul, that's the bread of truth. If you teach the truth whereby people can be fed with it, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. In other words, your light is going to dispel all darkness. God sees to it. When you begin to search the real truth from God's word, not what man might say, and not be among the bulrushes which blow this away one minute and some other way, and then you end up never knowing really what truth is. And it's real simple to find your way. It's the word of God. Okay. The letter he sent you. But he said, when you have that truth and you share that light and you let your light shine, then I'll be with you. I'll hear you. I'll say, here I am. And he will be there. And he will assist you in whatever it is you need or want. Verse 11. That's in his way, of course. Verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. How often is that? Continually. And satisfy thy soul in drought. In other words, however severe the drought is, for in the world for want of truth and confusion and babble, there's not going to be a draw for truth for you. You're going to have it. Why? You've got the word of God. And he hears you and he's with you. and make fat thy bones. That's to say, to invigorate your very body. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. This word fail, translated deceive or a lie. In other words, whose waters deceive not or lie not. Why? Because it's the water of truth, the living water, which is to say Christ. It'll never fail you. But if you start listening to strange waters and strange teachings that are contrary to the Word of God, though they may say it's holy, 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 and sing like angels in heaven about it, it doesn't make it right. It's deceitful. And you said, if you'll follow me, if you'll do it my way, and if you'll, your soul will always be provided with truth whereby you'll never be deceived, especially by the false Christ, okay? In the future, that's what it means, 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. This is yet future. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. That's to say, repairing wrecked homes, misguided people, to take that truth and show them the correct way. That's to say, your Father, the kinsman redeemer, he that makes all things right, if you go his way, if you partake of his water, the living water, the truth, in other words, and stay away from deception and lies, then you will have that truth and he will be with you. He says, I'll hear you. He didn't only say, I'll hear you. He'll say, I'm here, and he will be. Verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, what is your Sabbath today? It's Christ. Don't turn your back on Christ. And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing their own ways, and him, of course, is Christ, not finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. But whose words? Christ's words, the living word, God's truth. That's how you find it. And, you know, our Father is a jealous God. You're his child. He's your nearest kin, spiritually speaking. And if you're messing around with lies and trying to follow someone else, he gets jealous. And he certainly doesn't like it. And what he has said in this chapter, I won't hear you. And you that do see the truth, you better cry out the warning to the others, whereby they are forewarned as to what's happening. Verse 14. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Do you know what your heritage is? Do you know the promises and the covenant that God has made with Jacob, the natural seed of Israel, bringing forth the Sabbath, which is to say Christ, that is a blessing to one and all peoples? Don't ever, as this chapter has taught, don't ever let man's traditions place a yoke on you that harnesses you to hardship and lies and deception. But stay with the Father and what he's saying. I'll see to it. I'll see to it that you walk on the high places. That means that things fall to your credit in good, and that is right. When you care about your family and that heritage, the heritage that is eternal, that inherits that lot, that acreage, as it is described in the millennium chapters, where each of Jacob's children receive a reward. God's elect, as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 44 have their own reward, their own heritage. Their heritage, as you would read in Ezekiel 44, is God Himself. What a blessing and what a time to live, that you can live at a time when our Father blesses those that follow Him. Now, here we go with chapter 59, we find out what causes the breach. Okay. Have you ever had a breach between you and God? Well, sin and transgression against His Word usually causes it. Chapter 59, verse 1, and it reads, "Behold," you look here, "the Lord's hand is not shortened," it's not weak, "that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy," He's not deaf, "that it cannot hear." If you call, He hears, if you're doing it His way, okay? And He's not, like said, His hand is not shortened to where He can't reach out and help you. He can help you. He knows you. And He knows what you're thinking, so you can't con Him. And when you're honest with Him, and when you're seeking, He's going to see that you find. Verse 2, "But your iniquities," that your sins, "have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." In other words, if you call on the wrong God, especially, He's not going to hear. That is to say, false teachings, the false Christ, which some would call the Antichrist. If you're waiting, in other words, some people teach doctrines that are against the Word of God, that causes people to line up and accept the first Jesus that sets foot on this earth in the so-called Second Advent. Not being familiar with God's Word, you don't know that the false Christ comes first. "No, you don't understand, brother, we're going to be gone." Uh-oh. You're not familiar with the book of Ezekiel, which has more about the millennium and the Lord's day than the book of Revelation. And it does. It goes into much detail, the layout of the land, the people, during the Lord's day, the millennium. But it especially says in chapter 13, "I'm against those that teach my children to fly to save their souls." If God is against something, don't fall in this category, because He will not hear you. If He's against something, you'd better wake up and realize you're listening to traditions, and get the gospel on, the gospel armor on and in place, and stand against the fiery darts of Satan, and see that you're partaking of the true water that gives you victory over all your enemies as a servant of God. Sin can sure let you fall short. That can be the breach that will keep God from answering your prayers, or confuse your understanding, whereby you fall into Babel, which is to say confusion, or Babylon. God is the author, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And you need to find it. What is sin? Sin is to transgress God's law, that is to say His Word. If you're not familiar with His Word, how are you going to know when you transgress against it? You wouldn't, really. You might hear some man say, "Well, that'll be fine, you do it this way or that," but you need to stop and see what God has to say about it. And you do it exactly by what we're doing now, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Let God speak, not man. Verse 3, "For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity," sin. "Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perversiveness," that's to say wickedness. And anytime you're misleading God's children with false teaching, holy, 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 and it's not at all, it's transgressing the very Word of God, going against God's Word. that's the kind of blood, that means murder. When you begin to bring about the death of souls, that's worse than death of flesh, because that has to do with eternity. Verse 4, none calleth for justice. That's to say, to do what's right and just. Nor any pleadeth for truth. They don't seem to search for it. They listen to yo-yos. They trust in vanity. This word is tuhu, not used all that many times in God's word, and it means, oh, empty, it is void. And speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Anytime you bring forth iniquity, you're making religion out of falsehood. That's bad. That is one thing, lies that steer away from God's truth. And, you know, it is amazing to me that God's plan of salvation, which this book is about, that's what it means, that's what the name Isaiah means, Yahweh salvation. Salvation is so simple that a child can understand it. That's to say, the Word of God. If you brush aside all those old traditions and listen to what God is saying, it is so simple to find salvation and to be pleasing to Him and receiving His blessings that I know not why man goes to so much trouble to cause God hurt and anger. That is to say, to disappoint Him. Verse 5. They hatch cockatrice eggs. That's serpent eggs. And weave the spider's web. They weave a web of lies. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and then that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. In other words, you're going to lose when you mess with falsehood and deception, especially if it's Satan lies, all the way around. And you go ahead and try to weave you a garment out of that web, that spider web, and see what you get. Okay, go ahead and weave you a nest of lies and deception and sin, rather than the gospel armor of Almighty God in its simplicity. If you eat one of those eggs, you die, and if you crush one of them to try to get rid of it, a snake comes out and bites you, okay? You lose both ways when you mess with Satan and his lies. And unfortunately, Satan uses pulpits a great deal. You want to be careful. It's one of his best favorite places to work, because he can deceive masses by people that do not teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse and claim to be a church. I'm not condemning nor judging anyone. Facts are facts. Truth is truth. That is it. Verse 6. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Do you know what our garments are made out of in heaven? They're made out of righteous acts. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 and 7 and 8. Your righteous acts are the fine linen, that white linen that you wear in the kingdom. If all your works are cockatrice eggs and spider webs, sin, you're not going to have anything to wear. It's not going to make you any clothing. What I'm saying is, you're going to be naked there. That's biblical. That's the great book of Revelation documents it. Verse 7. Their feet run to evil. Man, they can't wait. And they make haste to shed innocent blood, try to mislead people. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. In other words, you leave a trail of misery and confusion in your religion. Christianity is not a religion, it's a reality. And it, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, truth to truth to truth, end to end, from the end to the from the beginning to the end, is God's truth that will lead you. Have you ever wondered, what do you mean, brother? In our church, we read the Bible. Oh, you read one verse or two, and then you talk about other things for an hour? How much did you really learn about God's Word? And again, I'm not judging anyone. I'm just saying facts are facts. If that's the way it is, hey, that's the way it is. Did you drift in that hour after that one little verse, did you drift away from God's Word and go into traditions? Our Father doesn't like that. He would rather you stuck with His Word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Otherwise, you leave a trail of misery and destruction as far as salvation and eternal life is concerned, that people are not deceived. In other words, lies won't cut it. False teaching won't cut it. Verse that. That's what your Father is saying. Do you understand what He's doing here? He's saying there could be a breach between Me and thee. And I'm telling you what the breach is. It's lies. And it's not following My Word. And if you want Me to hear you, you better patch it up. You better repair that breach in the wall. For quite frankly, God is our wall. Next verse, please. Verse 8. The way of peace, they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. In other words, you're never, if you follow them, especially the teachings of Kenites, you're never going to find truth, and you're never going to find peace. You're never going to have peace of mind, in other words. Peace of mind comes from assurance in holding God's Sabbath, which is to say Christ, and have that living Word in your forehead rather than nonsense. And when you have that seal of God in your forehead, which is the truth, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, no one can deceive you. You know God's overall plan, the events that consummate the end of this age. You don't follow those crooked paths. You stay on the path, the way. What is our way? Christ. Verse 9. Therefore is judgment far from us. That is right and that is justified. Neither doth justice overtake us, never catches up with lies. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, darkness. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. That's what false teachings will do for you, friend. How do I know if I'm in darkness? Well, if you're confused. If you study, if you're church, so-called, and you really try to dig, and they don't bring you into light, truth from God's Word, if it doesn't, well, how do I know? Well, if it's not clear in your mind. If you can't see the overall plan of God, whereby you have understanding, you're in darkness. I don't care how churched you are. If you don't see truth, then you're in darkness. And you need to search and come into the light and let your light shine, whether it's midnight or noon, as we read. You're going to have that brightness, that light that you could even share, for Christ is that light. Verse 10, they continue, we grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men, spiritually deader than a hammer. Like they're blind and they're trying to find the walls or the parameters that God has placed on us of what truth is, and they can't find a solid wall of truth. They're just stumbling around looking for truth. And if you stick in traditions, you're never going to find it. You're only going to find it studying God. He sent you this letter. Personally, He sent it to you that you could have clear thoughts and clarity of mind, that you could follow Him, that you could be blessed. And what He's talking about is a breach. And if you're so confused, you don't even know spiritually where the walls are. And if you can't see truth, you're spiritually dead. Which Christ do you serve? Do you serve the first Christ that appears, or the second in the second advent, supposedly? The first is the Antichrist. Have you been taught that? If you are taught that, then you're not going to be deceived, and you feel real comfortable knowing you're going to stand against Him. Why? It's God's plan. That's what Mark chapter 13, Matthew 24, and Luke 21 is all about. That's Christ's message. You don't have to feel around for walls. You know exactly where you are. And God's Word gives you that comfort. Yeah, they stumble around. And this is not degrading blind folks. It's saying they're spiritually blind. Verse 11. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We're either grumbling or we're cooing. Isn't it sweet? Okay. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. Well, it's hidden from Him as long as He told you coming out the gate. If you got that breach and your iniquities drive you away and your traditions, you're not going to find it. It's not going to be there. Not only can you not find the breach, you can't find any part of the wall. Verse 12. Why? For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. The sins we know very well. Well, it would seem that some might think they know sin. But sin is, quite frankly, there's no sin in being ignorant of God's Word, but it's a sin to stay that way. Okay? Verse 13. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. In other words, you conceive a thing of naught. You make plans that are lies, deception, and falsehood. That's not going to please our Father. It's going to disappoint Him, and like He's already warned, I won't have it. I won't hear you. And then He gives the comparison to the person that does listen and prays to Him, that is honest in seeking the light. And He says, I'll answer. I'll say, I'm here. I'm with you. And I'll bless you. Why is it so hard for people to make up their mind to follow the Word whereby you know in following God? God knows how difficult it is for me, and what He's leading up to here, I'm going to simplify it for you. I'm going to help you out. Okay. Verse 14 to continue. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. In other words, If truth falls in the street, that is right cannot enter your so-called house of God. Okay, you let it play out coming out the gate. And this would seem to be very, very confusing. However, it isn't. Verse 15, yea, truth faileth. You're missing it, is what He's saying. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. In other words, if you try to do what's right, you'll be a prey for Satan, okay? And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. It displeased him that it would seem that every time a man tried to do what was right, he ended up that all the others in sin were after him. He become prey to them. So he had an answer, and you find it in the next verse. And let me tell you before we even read it, he sent Christ. He sent Christ to walk the earth, to be among us, to show us how, to be an example, an ensample whereby you could see and understand. Why? Because God loves you. He won't love what you're doing when you're sinning, when you got that breach in the wall. But he loves you when you try to change. And verse 16, and he saw that there was no man, there was no Savior, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. He sent Christ. This is talking about the Savior. This is talking about the Messiah, the intercessor, the one that in his name you have power and authority. That when you become confused, or when you decide to break out of the ways of the world and Satan, the cockatrice eggs and webs of lies, that the first moment you stay, you won't be a prey to the wicked, because Christ will be with you. He says, I will hear you. And so he does. How precious it is that he sends this one. We'll pick it up here in the next lecture. And we'll learn of the breastplate and the helmet of salvation, the one he sent. Do you know him? You know, it's important that you do. Because when you know him, you seal that breach up in the wall. You can find that wall and the parameters. You know exactly where you are. You know you're a child of God, and that your heritage is of Jacob, and all those covenants and promises that were made to our people. All right. Hey, don't miss the next lecture. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The book of Ezekiel. What a fantastic study, this book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel that covers, if you would, those vehicles, those circular discs. In the Hebrew, it states very clearly that whirlwind with the color amber traced back to the Hebrew, highly polished bronze. What an exciting thing that God's word informs us on all things. Ezekiel, one of my favorite prophets of the Bible, probably more written, not probably, but absolutely more written on what will happen in the millennium age than even the book of Revelation. Ezekiel guiding you through it, what God will expect at the final battle, Armageddon and Hamagog, recorded in this great prophecy. I know you're going to enjoy it, the book of Ezekiel.
And there we are, back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, hey, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular denomination, reverend, or organization. Let's don't judge people. Hey, you know, after today's lecture, our Father is the judge, and he makes that very plain. Nobody can con him. Nobody can put anything over on him. Why? He knows what you're thinking. So it's fantastic that we let him be the judge, and we teach God's word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and never, never, never apologize for the word of God. It strengthens when you sound that warning of the false one coming and arm people with truth. Then you know that clarity of end times comes into focus. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. You got a prayer request, you don't need the number, and you don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. He's real. He's your Father. And He knows what you're thinking. What does He want from you? He wants your love. He wants you to love Him. That's why He created you. As it is written in the very last verse of Revelation chapter 4, God created all things for His pleasure. And you are a pleasure to Him when you follow Him. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen, amen. Okay, and we'll get into some questions here. We're going to go with Ed from Kentucky. My wife and I have studied with you, okay, for 3 years. My question is, in Job chapter 1, verse 6, King James Version says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." And of course, Jesus was the Son of God. What does this mean that Job, about Job and the sons of God? Well, let's rephrase that. Christ was the Son of God, the only begotten. In the manuscripts, angelic beings, that's to say an entity that has not yet been born of woman, for we were all with God, are called the sons of God. Okay? They're angels that are with Him. That's all they are. Okay? But there was only one that it was the Son of God, the only begotten. Myrtle from Michigan. Myrtle's 92. Well, that's fantastic. And my question, when they die, are they with my husband and son? Do they recognize each other? They you know, people know each other in heaven. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 20 through 25 documents that you recognize family. And there are animals in heaven as well. What a wonderful place. You just ride easy and know that God loves His children. Okay, Teresa from Kentucky. I have a question. I was told that a woman should not wear pants to church. Can you tell me if this is true and where to find it in the Bible? Is it Deuteronomy 22, verse 5? Me and my husband watch you every morning. Thank you and God bless you. Well, thank you for being interested in God's Word. You know, it is a very confusing thing, Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, whereby it says a woman should not partake of a man's clothing. But it's a Hebraism that means that a woman should never take the man's part in a sexual act. Okay? It has nothing to do with garments, basically. And quite frankly, what did men wear when Deuteronomy 22, verse 5 was written? Men wore skirts. Okay? They did not wear pants, as we call them today. And a pantsuit for a lady is certainly not men's clothing, okay? And so you're in good shape. I know that some churches have, and if you attend a church like that, you have to go by their rules. I've never always practice pulpit decorum, or don't go there, okay? But it's like I always say, if you go to someone's house and they pass a plate and say, "We're going to have peanut butter and crackers," and you don't like peanut butter, so you take yours and you throw it on the floor and the carpet and stomp it with your foot and say, "I don't like peanut butter." You wouldn't do that. Well, the same way, if you're with a church and you went there on your own, then you behave accordingly while you're there, and you understand what I'm saying. It does not mean what most people think it means. So it's just like at the same teaching, it will say, "Do not take the price of a dog into a church." And what that has to do is a male prostitute, you will not allow him into the church. Okay. Anita from Colorado. You teach that I've heard you say that others that are taken young were too good for this earth age. Also, I have, before I was born in this earth age, in other words, was I bad? No, you have a destiny. You have a purpose here. As it is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, God chose you before the foundations of the earth. And we've got work to do for our Father and for the benefit of God's children. Hey, they're being mistaught, misled, taken advantage of. And it takes our family to plant those seeds of truth. So you got work to do here. So don't put yourself on some guilt trip. And you're a daughter of God. Let people see what a daughter of God looks like, okay? Jean from Michigan. Someone on a particular program said he had died and went to heaven, was revived and returned. I wanted to see, as everyone would like to know, what he found there. He said he saw his family, but he said the angels had wings, and I thought you said that the angels do not have wings. Will you please clear this up for me? Well, unfortunately, anyone that would say they've been to heaven and the angels had wings hasn't been there, okay? Or is very, you know, probably had a sour pickle dream or something, okay? Or was simply out under impact. Why? Well, it's real simple. What did God say in the book of Genesis? Let us make man, form man in our own image. That word image means exactness. It means phantom, to be exactly alike. Okay? This is why Jesus would say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because Jesus was the exact image of Almighty God. Now, did Jesus have wings? Now, at the same time, we are made in the image of your angelic being, for you were with God. That's why God used plural, Elohim, in the Hebrew tongue. Let us create man in our image. You are in the exact image you were with him. Exactly. Do you have wings? Answer, of course you don't. Now, all through my life, since I was able to receive my pilot's license, I've always had a set of wings, but they're not fastened to my back, okay? They're, you know, you can rest assured that if someone says they went to heaven and the angels were walking around with wings, tilt, bing, 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 something's wrong, somebody is imagining things, so be it. That's just the facts of life. That's data. That's the way it is. And I'm not judging anyone, but those are the facts. That's the way it is. Amen. Vicki from, and amen means that's that. Okay. Vicki from Missouri. My question is, in Ezekiel, where they speak about the highly polished bronze craft, you said you believe God's throne was on it. Why would God need physical objects to move about in and not have the ability to go from place to place by mere thought? Well, it's according to whether he's in spirit or in reality. But he didn't have the throne there for his benefit. Don't you know what it is? It's the mercy seat. It's for our benefit. Okay. And ultimately, don't be shocked. He's going to bring it back to this earth, for I feel that the mercy seat is with him even now, as it is written in Revelation chapter 11, the last couple of verses. That was the mercy seat has a Messiah connotation. It is the seat of Messiah. It is the seat of God with us, which is to say, our Father. Okay, so you must realize that there is spirit, But this flesh body must put on the spiritual body. And we have spiritual bodies. Okay? And let me ask you something. The fallen angels that came here and were able to impregnate the daughters of Adam, as it is written in Genesis 6, do you think they just flew here? No, they had transportation. And that's no big woo out in boo-boo land. Those are facts, data. Ezekiel did a very good job of explaining exactly what they look like in the Hebrew manuscripts. Martin from Maryland. Thank you much for bringing and sharing the Word of God in the manner in which you do. This gives me an extra helping of daily bread. My problem is this. For years, I've struggled with alcohol and have tried to stop. I've asked the Lord to deliver me from this, and He doesn't seem to hear my prayers. Can you offer some comfort or suggestion, some scripture for me? Well, I would always, in this case, advise 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. But, you know, at the same time, when you have this problem, there is an organization that does a fantastic job. It's not a place you go to get religion, but to get yourself dried out and off of alcohol. It's called the AA, and it's not a shame to go there. It's a good organization, and the people that are there have witnessed what you have witnessed, and they can give you some good advice. And sometimes we just need a little bit of extra help. And when you get extra help, experience talks. These people at AA have experienced what you're going through. I haven't. Okay. I could tell you, well, just leave it alone. But I know that it's deeper than that. And I know that alcoholism is basically a disease. But they've been there, done that, and they can give you some good assistance. If you have not attended, I would highly recommend, if you've tried everything else, that you try them. Don't go there to get religion. You go there to get free of this problem, okay? And they do not try to teach religion there. They try to teach you how to get one up on your flesh body, to control it. I'm Tabitha from Oregon. I'm 9 years old, and I'm wondering, were Adam and Eve fallen angels from the first earth age? No, darling, they were not, okay? And they were created by God, and their souls were with God in the first earth age, but they did not fall, okay? As a matter of fact, He chose them for His eighth day creation through, and Eve would even become the mother of all living. Why? Because umbilical cord to umbilical cord, Christ would come through her and her daughters. And therefore, you are either in Christ or you're not living. That is to say, you don't have eternal life. So, no, they were fantastic, okay? They were prime. But all people can fall short. And unfortunately, all of us do at times, okay? Okay, we're going to go with Laura. Good friendship is always pleasing to God, okay? I won't go into your situation or anything, but God doesn't frown on friendship, okay? That He highly recommends it. But exactly that, okay? David from Florida. How does God handle atheists? My father is age 95 and thinks when we die it is like a dog or a cat or a cow. He says there is no heaven or hell because there is no oxygen up there and we would not be able to breathe. Does God cut any slack for ignorance? Dave from Florida. Yes, He does, okay? And you know, even though he's 95, don't count him out yet, okay? I've known many atheists, quite a few atheists in my time, and I've known a lot of them that had a change of heart right at the, you know, when they saw death facing them, they kind of had a change of heart. But the beauty is that he's going to get there and find out that in spiritual bodies we don't need oxygen, and besides, heaven is going to be right here on earth anyway, where there is plenty of oxygen. It's going to be right out of Jerusalem. It is written in Revelation chapter 21 that God intends to set his eternal temple right there in Jerusalem, okay, on Mount Zion. But the beauty is that in, as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 44, if he should not change his mind, then he's going to know in the millennium, the Lord's day, and as one of the Zadok, one of the just, one of God's elect, you're going to be able, as it is written in Ezekiel 44, 20 through 25, you're going to be able to go help your father. And at that time, I assure you, he will listen, okay? You enjoy your dad while you have him with him and with you, and keep setting that example. He could change. Pat from Wisconsin. I have this question. You always say that our Savior went back to Noah's day and preached the gospel to them, and many were saved. What about those before Noah's day, like Adam, Eve, and their children, for example? In teaching and in the manuscripts, we have Hebraisms. It is an example, and I didn't say he went back there. That's scriptural. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, okay? And it is a Hebraism that means he went all the way back to the beginning, okay? For it was Noah's time where all the sin was really taking place, and that's why Enoch, a preacher against it, was so good that God just took him and transfigured him. So it goes back to that time where the fallen angels were intermixing and there were hybrids, and God put a stop to it. It means the beginning, okay? It's figure of speech, okay? And we're going to go with Artie from New York. And Artie, you know, you can study and you can read, but no one understands all of God's Word, okay? Just give yourself a break and cut yourself a little slack. And, you know, when you listen to too many people and too many churches, it can cause confusion. You need to kind of stick with God's Word. That's the reason he sent you the letter. And when you find security in a church that does teach that truth, then the understanding will come. But nobody can understand and remember every verse in God's Word. Jamie from California. Pastor Murray, the other day on the news, it said they were going to start selling cloned meat, and we, the consumer, would not be able to tell the difference in the food chains. Can you please comment if this should we be worried? Well, the other day, a lady lost her little pet dog, and she had some country to clone the dog. It cost her $150,000. Okay. Now, if we start cloning cattle at $150,000 a piece, I think you'll know the difference, all right, when you start to buy a steak, all right? It'll be pretty expensive. God created a way that we have calves. They come by having a cow and a bull, okay? And it's though a little expensive, it's inexpensive compared to cloning. Cloning is so expensive, it's never going to come to pass, and it will never pass on a dinner plate, okay? So you could just scratch that one. And it's a lot like global warming that we hear about. They have found out this year that we have lost more temperature. The coldest has been in 100 years, okay? So somebody's getting gored, okay? Besides, God promised that there would always be hot and cold, but it would never be too hot and it would never be too cold. So you believe God or Olal, which will it be? Patricia from Virginia, in the New Testament church, the apostles baptized in the name of Jesus. Why is that not, why don't we today? Well, we do. Who do you know that baptizes in somebody's name other than Jesus? Or do you know what Jesus means? Jesus to a linguist is Yeshua. And being properly interpreted, it means Yahweh's Savior. So it's the Father and the Son. And where they are, if you've ever read John 14, the Holy Spirit is always present. So take your pick either way. I have a question regarding gone. This is Jane from Washington. Going to church on Sunday, I was used to go to church, but they didn't teach the Bible chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Is it okay not to go to church as long as I study and watch you on television? Well, you are in church here, but don't give up. You know, there are some good churches, but it would be a waste of time to go somewhere where they weren't taught. Patricia from Virginia, in the second epistle of John, chapter 1, there is a talk about the elect lady. Who is she? Mother Israel, okay? God's elect. David from Florida. And I'm out of time. Well, what is your opinion on the Living Bible? It's a pretty good translation. It's got some errors, even in the Song of Moses. Check it out, and you'll see. Deuteronomy 32. Hey, I'm out of time. I love you all a bunch. You know why? You enjoy studying God's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. And when He loves you, He's going to make your day, okay? It just is... It brings Him great pleasure for you to study the letter He sent to you. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, hey, you stay in His Word. Every day in His Word, even with trouble, still a good day. You know why? Because Jesus is the living Word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will...